Okay, as I said last week, Anna is almost done filming Overboard, so we have something special today. Our good friends Tiffany Haddish and Regina Hall are starring in Girls Trip, which is coming out July 21st. And anyone that's listened to the Tiffany Haddish episode already knows what a force of nature she is. Well, we recorded over 3 hours with her, so there's a lot you haven't heard yet. We're also going to play a portion of one of the first podcasts we ever recorded. This was way back in 2015, late 2015, with Regina Hall, and most of you will be hearing this for the first time. So we have a couple of advice calls in there as well with the ladies. Let's get things started off with Tiffany Haddish.
Regularly to visit a lot of foster.
Yeah, I go to different like group homes, different foster homes, different elementary schools. I love to go to elementary schools and talk to kids because really that's when your mind is most impressionable. Like once you're in junior high, high school, I mean, somebody can come and talk to you, whatever. And if they resonate with you, they resonate with you. And I do comedy shows at high schools all the time. Called Chuckles Not Knuckles, where I get like four different, and usually it's the schools that have like racial tension or bullying, like super bullying issues. Yeah. And I'll get these comics together and we'll tell jokes. You know, we'll do a stand-up comedy show basically catered to high school age appropriate children, and in talking about, you know, different scenarios and how to handle bullying and how to handle different situations. Because I mean, I am definitely the product of my bullies, you know, but also the product of my heroes.
Wait, what do you mean when you say that you're the product of your bullies?
Oh my gosh. So like, I used to get picked on. I used to have, okay. I had like this wart. I don't know if it was a wart or a mole or a very huge skin tag. It was something growing on my forehead. Okay, y'all. And if I cut it off, it would bleed out. And then it would grow right
and
the
you
fuck
would
back.
Try
then
to
it
cut
like
it
a
off
flower.
Yourself.
Where on your forehead was it?
Right.
This is terrifying.
Right there. Okay.
Right in the center of my forehead. And it started when my mom started tripping out, when she had the accident, that's when it started to grow, right? And kids would make fun of me. They'd be like, you look like an ugly ass unicorn. You old dirty ass brown dookie unicorn, right? And it used to hurt my feelings and they used to pick on me. They used to be like, get your old moly ass. Because I had a mole on my chin. I had this mole under my eye and I had some shit growing up my forehead. I swear to God, it was a horn, you guys. It was spiral around the skin. It would harden. It was crazy. I don't know. It was definitely a wart, probably. I don't know. But by the time
I had that headgear that went like.
You had the headgear?
Yeah. But I don't. Just
but you could take your headgear off. I had to cut this motherfucker like with scissors. And
wait,
I would. And I would
just
do
sounds
it,
so painful.
And it did hurt. It did. You know what? It didn't hurt that bad. But when like the kids would pick on me super bad, I remember being in sixth grade and this dude was like, he was on me, clowning me hard, like all day long. Like, your hair nappy, that unicorn horn, you got roaches on your face. Like, all this shit killing me, like killing my soul, like really killing my soul. And I remember I grabbed a pair of scissors at the thing and I looked at him and I just cut my horn and then blood just started spilling down the middle of my face. And I was like, now what you gonna say? Like, it was some creepy, scary shit.
Tiffany, that is the
and then
the best.
Everybody's like, Tiffany, they're like, Tiffany's bleeding. Oh my God, oh my God. Like, and then he was scared to make fun of me. Like,
now,
this bitch
now
is gonna
what
hurt
gonna
herself.
Say?
It's gonna hurt herself.
Now what you gonna
now
say?
Now what you gonna say? I'm looking like Carrie through the middle of the eyes. His blood just rushing down my face.
Oh my God.
I just remember, like, those bullies, though, they made me stronger. They made me, like, I remember being on a school bus. We used to have to catch the bus. I had to catch the bus at 5:45 every morning. And we'd catch it on Weston and Vernon. And it would take me to Hale Middle School. And then I went to El Camino Real High School. And I would catch the bus out there every morning. And I remember it would be some dudes on the bus. It'd be, like, dudes that was gangbangers going to the school. Dudes that was just gang affiliated, just, like, regular Poindexter black dudes. And they would clown each other, right? But I wanted to be a part of it because it looked like they was having so much fun. They enjoyed each other. They would hang out at lunch. And I was like, I got to figure out how to get in that crew. So I would wear like crazy clothes to school. Like I remember one day I wore a cowboy outfit that I had found for Halloween because they gave the foster kids free Halloween outfit.
Like what?
It was a vest with tassels. It came with a hat. It had boots that was like plastic boots that go around your shoes that you tape onto your
shoes. Oh my God. I bet you looked so fucking cute.
And it was jeans that was made out of like leggings. Like it's like, you know, them leggings, but they look like jeans. No, they're jeans. It looks like jeans.
Like really tight.
They're like leggings, but on them, on you know how you print on the leggings, are like a print of jeans, right? So it's like a print of cowboy jeans with some leggings on. And I had a little bitty shirt because that's when it was cool to wear your stomach out. And I had a little bitty shirt on that was actually my sister's shirt.
Oh my gosh, the sheriff.
And I was like, I walked up
Sheriff there. Tiffany's in town.
Yeah, and I came to school. I was like, hello, little doggies. And I walked up to the bus stop and they was like, and I had a big ass backpack that's like 40 pounds because I couldn't remember my combination to my locker. So I always had all my books in my backpack and they clowned the average person probably would have been crying. The stuff they were saying was so mean, so cruel, whatever. And I would just laugh. And they'd be like, why are you laughing? You should be crying right now. I'm like, why would I cry? Look at what I created.
Yeah.
Look at what all of y'all is 15 dudes. Now there's a girl on the bus with big titties. It's another girl on the bus with big booty that they would mess with. It's another girl on the bus with pretty hair they would mess with. But all 15 of the most popular dudes in school is looking at me and talking about me.
And you were completely aware
Completely aware. It hurt my feelings. Now, some of the shit they said, it was me. But I just laugh and smile anyways. And none of them would fuck me. I tried to fuck all of them. None of them would fuck me. I couldn't get no dick. My first dick was bad dick, but it doesn't.
What does bad dick mean?
It was not. That's not
like a bad person, or was it a bad?
A bad person is a bad person.
Okay,
but I really wanted. I really wanted like all those like because I thought they were also smart, like to come up with the things they were saying, to be so quick about it, and how. And I love to hear them laugh. Like that was my thing. Like to hear laughter. I think that's the best sound in the world. It's so sexy.
It's so powerful.
It changes your whole mood. Even if somebody could be laughing at me. They could be saying something super mean and then somebody will laugh, right? And then another person laugh, because it's contagious. It's like a yawn. Yeah, yawns are contagious. And so then somebody else laugh. And then what they say hurt my feelings, but I keep hearing these laughs. Then I start feeling like, you know what? I'm going to have to laugh too, because that shit, they're giving all their attention to me. When you sit back and think about it, those bullies are using all their brain power, all their existence to try to change your entire world.
Do you think that bullies know now that they were bullies? Or do people...
Now they know. Oh, for sure they know. Like, that boy Chauncey know. I cut my fucking horn off.
But everyone has revisionist history, right? Like, everyone has, like, you know, I mean, like, we do have. So do people think, like, oh, man, I wish I wasn't mean to that person.
Hell, yeah. You know, it's like 15 dudes right now.
I mean, yes.
They hit me up on Facebook all the time. When the movie came out, like, so many of those dudes that used to make fun of me have hit me up like, yo, Tiff. Like, I remember you used to say, one day you going to be trying to kiss my ass, and I want to kiss it. Like, they won't. Like, it's so fun, because I used to say that to them. I'm like, I'm going to be famous, and you going
to
be mad.
Will you tell them that Sim is going to kiss it? Or my husband is going to kiss it with a sword?
Wait, so I what? Kiss it with my, what?
No, sorry. I didn't mean to drag you into this. But,
you.
Sorry.
Wait, so why does he get a sword, and I just get my lips?
Sorry.
Because lips feel better than a sword.
Oh, man. Okay, so wait, we do have a couple things that we have to get to. First of all, Tiffany,
This is so much fun.
I'm so glad. Isn't it? I'm so
I hope
glad.
People learn listening and they're having a good time because I'm having a good fucking time.
Oh, everyone's
I'm
having so a great time. Glad, everyone's having a blast.
So I got to tell you, though, that that I do kind of, I really do sort of want it. I want to tie you up.
look here, 50 Shades of Light Gray.
Yeah. but will you tell? Oh, so we're going to get. So on our podcast, we call people. Strangers.
Let's call them.
Before we do that, she brought something weird. We have another segment.
Yeah. So Tiffany brought something weird.
And she's pulling it out of an Amazon box.
Okay. So I work on this TV show called The Carmichael Show on NBC.
He's amazing, by the way.
Yes. Gerard is pretty awesome. So I'm on this show called The Carmichael Show. And I was congested on set one day, and Loretta was like, "You have allergies?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have the cat from the movie, and I found out I'm allergic to it. And if I don't take my Claritin, I'll be kind of messed up the whole day." And she said, "Girl, you need to get this thing called My Pure Mist. They sell it at Target." And I was like, "I'm not going to Target. The last time I went to Target, I ran into two exes and they baby mamas, and that shit fuck with my spirit."
What Target are you going to?
The one off of La Cienega and Rodeo. Rodeo.
On the way to the airport.
By the airport. It's down the street from my house. Yeah.
Go to the one on La Brea.
In Santa Monica. No, because then I run into comedians there. And then they want to have conversations. Like, every Target has different things. I really like to go to the one that's in Redondo Beach, because that's when you run into, like, bodybuilders and dudes that want to lick your ass. So moving on.
Is that a general statement for all bodybuilders?
Pretty much, they like to eat ass. Look here. So she tells me to get this Pure Mist machine. I tell her, "Well, I'm going to go online and order it right now off of Amazon." She's like, "No, you got to go to Target." I said, "I'm going to go online. I'm going to go to Amazon. I'm going to get it." And it delivered the next day. So I got it this morning. And I feel like this is super fucking weird. Because you said it's weird stuff, right?
You got My Pure Mist.
My Pure Mist. And what it's supposed to do, I guess, is inject pure distilled water into your lungs.
Into your lungs?
I think it drowns you.
Okay, so we're going to drown tonight.
No.
Tonight's my last.
Drown, but it's supposed to clear up congestion.
Okay, I like this.
This is
all
a
right.
quick start guide.
So should we heat it up and give it a whirl?
Yeah, we got to plug it in. It says, attach the mask.
Okay. So
there's a motherfucking mask.
There's a mask. Oh, wow.
So now I'm going to feel Asian because that's the only people I know that wear masks all the time, because that's when I get my nails done. It's always Asians that wear masks.
They don't wear masks when you're getting your nails done.
Yeah, they do.
I've seen people wearing masks at the airport.
Wait, okay. Oh, Sim, when have you ever seen somebody get their nails done?
Never, because he only sell his hair. No, is that an Indian racial joke? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because I would totally buy all the hair that's growing on his back right now and make him into baby hairs. So bitches be like, "Oh my God, her hair is so cute." Because in the movies, they were showing my butt shots in the Keanu and the little scene. I was like, "Oh my God, are those naps on the back of my neck?" And my friend's like, "Girl, that's cute. That's curly hair." I was like, "No, bitch, them is naps. It is embarrassing. And I should be having my Indian hair showing." But I didn't have my tracks. Now, had I had my Indian hair tracks, I could have crocheted in the baby hairs in the back of my neck over the nappy hairs, and people have been like, "She got pretty hair."
I want to plug this in. How do we do this?
It came with a bottle of distilled water.
Okay. All right. We should really just have Mike do this because he's so much more technical than me. And
sweet Mike.
Yeah,
yes,
there's a
client.
So there it goes. Okay. So Mike,
and
you
so while
mic.
We do this, while we get this heated up.
Okay, so Mike, let me read the directions to you. I'm so proud of myself. Let me tell y'all something. Back when I was like 14 years old, I could not read for shit. And my drama teacher figured out that I could not read. Because what I was doing was I was using my Roger Rabbit techniques, and I was getting people to read to me, and I would memorize what they say. And I would just know the word, and that's what I would do, say it verbatim. And so now, and I only could read like 3-letter words. Now I'm a much better reader. I'm on a 10th grade level, I like to say.
This is all, by the way, on my pure, this is the My Pure List instruction list.
Yes, this is the pure mist quick start guide.
Sorry. By the way, but can we talk about this woman who's on the box?
The white lady on the box who looked like she breathed so easy. She's so happy.
She looks like she's
Look, that's her daughter.
Don't you think she needs to get
and
laid?
The man right here is her husband, who is also her grandpa.
Wait, who is that guy? Why is this guy? Why is there a guy in a suit?
Because he invented it. That's the inventor, I think. I'm just making that up. So let me read this to you guys. My Pure Mist Quick Start Guide. Attached mask. Insert. So you need the mask. Here you go. Attached mask at a 45 degree angle. Fill water reservoir to near top with pure fill water to distill water. Place cap over the reservoir. Let water soak in for 30 seconds. Each full reservoir provides approximately 25 minutes of steam therapy. There you go.
That sounded
That's
sexy.
That's the water.
It did sound sexy.
Number three, plug the unit in.
Wait, dude, I know you're already sexy, but do it.
Yeah, like I'm about to come.
Sexy, yeah.
Okay.
Plug the unit.
So you plug the unit in. And push the on button. Yeah. Oh yeah, you're pushing it now.
Oh
wait,
my God.
You didn't even plug it in. I feel it on my thighs, but it's not in.
It's about to be relieved.
Pour the water in. Pour the water in. Yeah. Pour the water in.
Cold analogy.
Oh
cold.
Yes, you gotta soak it for 30 seconds. Let the water soak for 30 seconds. Ooh, that's the reservoir. Yes. There you go. Pour that motherfucker in there, daddy. That's how you pour that shit. Yeah, boy. Oh, it's almost filled up. Oh, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Oh, you're going to make me squirt.
Okay, Tiffany, what else?
So, once it's plugged in and you turn on the on button, I put the mask in.
I got to say, can I hire you?
Do you want me to just do sounds from the closet? Sounds from the closet.
Sounds from the closet.
Yeah, that's it. Grab that ass.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So number four.
Mike can't get it on. The mask.
Mike.
Yeah, that's all of it.
Sweet Mike.
Mike, we're relying on you here, buddy.
Mike, you have it all. You have to put it in at a 45 degree angle. Okay.
Swift.
That's when
hard.
The booty is tilted up just so. Do you need a picture reference? Do you want me to read it to you in Spanish?
Yes, please.
Fixre la macas. Un del 45 degrees. Okay, no, back to English. Oh, so number four, adjust the temperature using the up and down button. There are four blue lights for temperature and one red light for out of water indication.
Okay, so wait, while my Pure Mist is heating up.
We're gonna let these guys figure it out.
I got it.
You got it lit up.
It's
but
missing.
Look, he didn't put the mask in there.
Mike can't figure out how to put the mask on. Mike
doesn't have a girlfriend or a wife either. I could tell he don't have no ring on and his nails is
actually, you know,
so immaculate.
He has a girlfriend.
He has a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Is she happy?
She is happy. She's
he
wonderful.
Can't get it in a hole.
Mike is
turn it off so he gonna burn himself up. Definitely mystifying right now.
I like that, Tiffany. My Pure Mist is mystifying. Okay, so wait. I want to ask you while
there
they're
you go.
Got it.
While these idiots are figuring out
we
what
got
to
it.
Do.
All right, so
I'm killing my drink and I'll talk.
I want to know what. Okay, can we first of all we're gonna get to some callers, but
it looks good. It's
Can
working.
Can you tell me about like your first falling in love experience? And you don't have to name names and you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Okay, I'm going to name some names. But first, let me take
huff. Do you mind if I snap a pic?
Yes, let's snap a pic. Because it says adjust the temperature. Okay, I'm going to turn it up because I want it a little warm because I am a little congested. And it says, when done, push the power button off. The blue light will turn off in the fan. We'll turn on and run for 10 minutes to dry the parts and water run out. Okay, so here we go.
Here we go.
I'm
going to
take in a deep breath of mist.
This is what happens when you do Anna Faris is unqualified.
Now, Loretta Devine says that This will clear my lungs. And I will sound like Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
How does it feel?
It's nice and warm. It's like sucking dick on a hot day.
Which is, it smells way better. Every woman knows.
It smells way better.
What do we want to do on a hot day? Gosh.
Make sure our man pays the mortgage.
I want nothing more than to suck a sweaty dick.
If the mortgage needs to be paid and it's a hot fucking day, I'm sucking that dick, okay? That shit is $4,200. I need my shit paid. I don't have residual checks like you do.
I don't have residual checks.
My residual comes from how good I suck the wrinkles out the... Yeah, you got a monster that day. He'd be like, oh, shit. She gave me that monster head last night. I love her.
I love her. They do. Sim, is it true? Do you fall in love with a woman faster if she's great at going down?
It definitely doesn't hurt.
You have Darth Vader over here.
This is amazing, by the way. Are you enjoying that? How did it feel?
It feels good. It's loosening up. It's definitely loosening up some congestion in there.
How much did that cost?
$149, I think.
Really? Whoa. My pure mist?
You would think it would be like $32 because it looks like some bullshit.
And you got to pay for more of this, too?
No, it's just regular distilled water. They just give you your first sample.
Okay.
Yeah,
it feels good.
Feels pretty good.
Yeah. Wait, you know what I want to do? I want to put some weed in there. Let's boil that marijuana.
Wait, but that it looks like a bong for sure.
Loretta Devine told me about this. This is a multi-time.
Loretta Devine?
Yes, multi-time Emmy winner.
It does feel really
a
nice.
Lot of. NAACP awards.
Do you think my voice sounds better?
I don't know. I feel like mine does.
Mine does as well.
Yes.
And I bet my blowjob skills have totally improved.
Yeah. It's relaxed your jawline and your and your gag reflex.
Can you?
I promised. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
One more, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
I will be your father. You are. Isn't it so good? I want to like pack you. I want to give you like a couple before you.
I'm going to get a plate.
She is an incredible cook.
I'm not leaving here. I mean, I can smell.
So, dear listeners, my mom is making fried chicken, and she is an amazing cook.
I mean, that smell is making my heart warm up.
It
almost makes me moist, but not quite. Hey,
what's that Prince song? I will be your father.
No, that's not Prince.
That's George Michael. That's part of your movie.
That's Keanu.
Yeah, that's Keanu. I will be your father, baby. Let me go testify. I will be. I think you're thinking of Dearly Beloved. We are gathered here today.
George Michael and Prince were a little bit the same.
Hello?
Though.
Oh, Hillary. Hi, Hillary. Sorry, we're talking
Hi,
about George,
Hillary.
George Michael.
Is
and
this
Prince
Hillary Clinton?
Okay.
Hillary, obviously it's Anna's here, but Tiffany Haddish, who's a star of Keanu, is also here. And Anna is also in Keanu, which is out in theaters right now.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
She has no idea what's going on right now.
I know we're being incredibly obnoxious. Not you, but we are being incredibly obnoxious.
We're having fun.
So Tiffany is our guest tonight, and she's out in Keanu, which is the movie that we did together, and she's the female lead, and she's brilliant in it, and she looks awfully cute. Hillary, where are you, or do you not want to say? You don't
what?
She's in Virginia. She's in Virginia.
Okay.
I have a sister that's illegitimate in Virginia, I think. My daddy, he from Africa. He fuck bitches all over America. He said he think I got a sister in Virginia.
And the only reason I know he's my daddy because I swabbed his mouth and I got a Groupon DNA test.
A Groupon DNA test.
I have to be honest. I can't hear anything you guys are saying.
Oh, no.
That's probably
oh,
a good
no.
thing.
Oh, Hillary.
Wait, Hillary,
I'm so sorry.
Can you hear us right now? Is that,
yeah,
is that better?
I wanna...
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay. But
wait,
all right.
By
well,
me,
is...
meaning Sim or Anna?
She probably can't hear me
Sim.
Because
I'm
a black
Anna
woman.
A little bit.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm gonna try and figure this out. How about, okay, so... Well, why don't you talk then? Because we can hear you. We'll figure this out. So you feel like your okay. fiance's family makes you feel like an outsider. So tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah. Well, so I've been with my fiance for almost 3 years. We're getting married in December. We live pretty close to his family and not very close to mine, so we see them a lot more often. And I've just really never felt included in their family dynamic.
Ugh.
And now that we're getting married, it's just, it's like really tough sometimes to go over there because they don't feel very comfortable and it doesn't really seem like they want to get to know me or learn about like memories that I had growing up.
Oh my gosh.
So
okay.
It's a little weird.
I have a lot of questions because first of all, so my family, we have a really tight family and my brother and I have both been married before our previous
current situations.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it was a common complaint with our exes. Like, you know, your family doesn't make us feel included. And I totally empathize actually because I think there was something about, I don't know if it was like sort of a, I don't like the parental love or obsession of like, not that, I mean, my brother and I are, we're a couple of fucking idiots. But
what?
But you know what I mean? But like,
no.
Well, you know, but our parents always made us feel unbelievably special. So when a partner came into our lives, you know, my parent, there was always like, they always tried to make people feel inclusive, but it was, I think there was definitely the idea that the onus was on the partner of my brother and I to sell themselves to my parents, if that makes sense. And
yeah. And I think what's hard is I have a really tight family too. And so, like, when he comes over, my family is very curious, and they ask him questions about how he grew up. And then I go there, and his family just, like, loves to tell stories about what they remember. And then I just am, like, lost. I'm like, no one explains it to me, and they're all having so much fun, and I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, so wait, let me ask you, how does your, when you ask your husband late at night in bed, or fiance, sorry. Was it fiance? Or...
Fiance.
Good enough.
But does he defend his family or does he sort of attempt to, you know, imagine you're sort of, like, is he empathetic at all?
I think he definitely understands where I'm coming from. I think it's hard because he just doesn't know how to incorporate it smoothly.
Can I share something that with you
sense.
That
yes.
I learned from when I was married? Now, I'm divorced now because that motherfucker liked to hug me with his hands around my throat, and I couldn't handle that because I like to breathe. But his family.
Tiffany. Oh, my God.
I'm so,
his family. That
we're going to have to talk about this later.
That's a domestic violence story that we don't need
no,
to talk
Tiffany,
about.
No,
I'm sorry.
But
no.
I learned a lot.
I'm
but
not,
look,
I'm
I learned a lot from it.
My
it made me a stronger. It made me a stronger woman. No, he don't. The government is on his ass right now. He's paying taxes and all kind of stuff. But look.
He's paying taxes.
He's paying so much in taxes and child support to these other bitches he got pregnant after he met me. So anyways, look. What I learned from that situation, his family still love me. His family still hits me up, and I do not. I'm from South Central Los Angeles, okay? I'm a hood chick that learned how to blend into different scenarios, okay? This dude was like, his family is a country bumpkin. Not bumpkin. I don't know about bumpkin, but I don't even know what bumpkin means. But they country as hell, and they, you know, former, like, they just really knit. Tucked to themselves. It's about 50 of them And I mean, it's like 15 kids and then from his mother and then all the grandkids, everybody, they all very close knit. And then me coming in was like, who the fuck is she? And so what I learned was I would talk to him and I would ask him stories about his childhood and ask him, what's the most embarrassing thing your auntie blah, blah, blah did? What's your cousin da, 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 da do? And what does this person do? What does that person do?
This is good advice.
And so now I'm getting him to talk about himself, his existence, his where he come from. And I shut the fuck up and listen to his stories and smile and look at him like he's the most awesome person on earth because he has these fantastic stories to tell about his whole family and how he used to play in the woods and all this stuff with his cousins and his cousin that became a crackhead and da da da. So now I know everything about everybody. So now when I go from South Central to Jackson, Georgia, okay, the most country, blackest, craziest shit I ever seen in my life, incest, everything. So I'm down there. And now they're telling stories, and I'm not in those stories. I did not experience those experiences, but he told me about them. So now they're telling, and I'll be like, so what did Red do? Shut up. What did such and such do? Shut up. Now they telling about how this went down, how that went down. Now, and you be quiet and you let them talk. Now they think you're the most awesome person on earth because you're asking about this family member, that family member who might have passed away or who might have was there. You know, it's on your husband to inform you about what's going on, your fiance. It's about him informing you about the family, what you about to marry into. Now, when you come through and they telling these stories, they're telling these stories because that's all they have. Are these memories? They're not with him every day. They're not creating new memories every day with him like you are. Yeah.
And they want to it's on a subconscious level. They want to encapsulate him. They want to
make sure he knows he's a part of this circle.
So I think Tiffany's totally onto something. And also what you can do to protect yourself is never, ever, ever. I know it's going to be so tempting, but that's what we're here for. is to never talk shit about them.
Never. Mm-hmm. Never talk shit. Never let him talk all the shit always agree with whatever he say and don't agree out loud. Right. Just be like nodding your head and be like, baby. And always, when they telling stories, ask questions. Because this is the thing. They telling the story because they want to be the center of attention. And when you, as the new person in, are excited about whatever story they tell them, be like, and so then what happened? And then what happened? Now you are incorporated in the family. Now you are interested in what they telling. And they telling the story for a reason. You're new to the circle. Mm-hmm. You didn't live the story. So they're trying to inform you. They might actually like your ass. They might actually enjoy you. That's why they sharing the story with you. Now you have to be interested. Now you don't say nothing. You don't smile. Your eyes don't light up anything. You just sitting there like, why the fuck are they telling stories and not including me? They telling the story because you are sitting there. You understand? Because they want you to know what's up with this family.
So
and that's pretty much what I do. It was just more, that's actually great advice because that's my question is, do I just sort of like let myself learn about it and like let them learn me by osmosis, or do I get him to help me be incorporated? So that's a really great point that I just need to like sit back and learn and engage.
Yeah.
How involved should her fiance be in all this? How should she have a conversation with him at all, Tiffany?
She should always talk to him.
No, I'm talking about privately.
Privately, when they're in the bed, be like,
No. I totally disagree.
What?
Yep.
No, you should always ask them, like, what's your most embarrassing moment?
Oh.
Your auntie Gladys, oh my gosh, she was so boisterous at the party. She was talking so much. Tell me something about her. But is she your favorite or is she like the one that gets on your nerves?
Okay, so Tiffany, then you're like a masterful strategist. Like,
this is chess, honey. We need you.
But I would never, I wouldn't, like in my relationship, I wouldn't ask about how somebody feel, like, you know,
ask how they feel about you.
Well, no, but I wouldn't ask about how they feel about so-and-so, like so-and-so's behavior, such and such a thing, because I don't want to give away that power.
No, like, you need to know how he feels about that particular family member so you know how to address that.
I wait for it to come to me.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. If he, first off, if he introduces you to that family member, he already feels some type of way, or he was put in a pigeonhole some kind of way. So you need to know where that family member stands.
I've never seen Mike nod so much, by the way.
Like, you need to know where that family member stands. So like, if his auntie Gladys come through and he's rolling his eyes the whole time, like, you got to watch his body language, and he's rolling his eyes the whole time that she's talking and everything, you need to be smiling, watching your man.
Oh, for sure.
Watching your man, and then
I
be
just
like,
no.
And then when she gets to talking so much and you don't know what the fuck, you cut her off, like, so what happened here? You redirect her. He's going to be like, oh, my baby know how to orchestrate a conversation. Mm-hmm. She's a powerful woman. Like, it's going to make his dick hard, I'm telling
but
you.
Don't,
like,
when
you get him, when she trying to talk shit about your husband, be like, but what did the other boy do? You know, like what did the other kid do? Like, always direct, like, when they, because they're going to try to talk shit about your man and see how you react to the
that's
shit
right,
talking
that's
about
right,
your man.
That's right.
You don't allow them to talk shit about your man in your presence. You hurry up and redirect the conversation to something else.
Tiffany, don't you think, though, like, if you're in bed at night, right, after a family function,
mm-hmm.
And it's silent or whatever, and you're picking out a program,
mm-hmm.
like, you definitely do not bring up. Because that's my feeling is if my husband wants to bring up some stuff with his family,
mm-hmm.
I will totally be open to talking about it, but I do not ever want to stress him out. Oh, he's already under a ton of stress with his career and, like, whatever, all this other stuff. I don't want to bring more stress upon him.
Here's what
and
you
I'm
do.
Not giving him blowjobs. That's when you sneak in.
That's when I sneak in. Hilarious. But look, I'm not going to sneak in, but look. You got to pay me a lot of money for that. Let me tell you something.
How much?
Too much. Too much fucking money.
Okay. Because
I need my mortgage paid. I need my mortgage
20,000?
Paid. Okay, that'll take care of my mortgage for about 3 months. That's, I need more mortgage. Look, here's 50,000? The thing.
50,000? I'm a very lazy person, Tiffany.
Mamacita. Listen, you never have to talk shit about his family. You let him do the shit talking about
his
family.
That's right. People will dig their own grave.
You let him say whatever. You just be like, babe, that was an interesting day we had today, right? And just smile. He'll either go, if he want to talk about it, he'll be like, yeah, can you believe blah, 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 blah. And you agree or disagree. But always kind of always be on his side. That's your man. You have his back. Like, his family is his family. And I'm guaranteed he love his family. But at the same time, he don't fuck with his family as much as he fuck with you, because his family is probably not what he want to be around all the time. Mm-hmm. And if he's always trying to be around his family, then you want to really observe them, because there's something about them that he needs in his existence that you need to provide for him. So, yeah. Like, if he's around his mm-hmm. mom a lot, like, he always want to have his mama around all the time, his mama probably give him a certain level of respect that you're not giving him. When you start to provide that certain level of respect, the mama's going to try to challenge you. She's going to try to make you feel like you ain't shit, because now you're taking her man away. And then you just keep on respecting your man and outdoing that bitch, so then she knows that she got to bow down to you, because you're the new queen in the building. Yeah.
And
it's Game of Thrones, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
this
right.
This pussy and is real.
That's right. He'll be like if you don't engage, like, if you don't ever initiate any catty, you know, then not that it's catty, because it's real.
Yeah.
But conversation about family members.
Be like, oh, my God.
Truly just trust that they're going to dig their own grave.
Yeah, they
and
always
will.
And
he will respect you so much if you don't bring it up at all.
Girl, when I was married, this cousin he had named Red, was like, yeah, he used to have two prostitutes, blah, 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 living in, telling me all his business. I said, well, it looked like he learned how to get down to one good pussy.
That's
he didn't
need amazing.
Two bad ones. And she's like, oh, you a bad motherfucker. No, I know you trying to fuck with my soul. And I'm not about to allow you to do that. Smile at her. And be like, so if you was in the house too, what was you? Was you fucking them too? Was you the cousin? Like, no, I'm not that cousin. But I did mess with his friends. And okay, girl, so you ever? So now I know all kind of stuff about her that she would never want me to speak out loud. I know, but I just let her know that I'm not afraid of his whatever he did in the past. That's his past. It don't matter to me. Right. We right here. This right here.
Yeah.
The black unicorn is right here, right now. He's going to bow down to this right now, right here, right now.
There you go.
And
so will you as a family member. You right now, right here, right now.
But so, okay, so here's the takeaway, like, advice, I think, like, in a nutshell, if you can, just stay quiet. Like,
not too quiet.
Grin and bear it. And then when he, because I guarantee the people that are working against your relationship, they will reveal their hand.
Oh, yeah. They always come out. They come out quick,
too. They come out. So that's what I'm saying is, like, you don't want to, like, you don't want them
you
to
don't give them too much ammunition, but you want to let them keep talking and make them feel like they're important. Now, the more that they feel important, the more that you're listening to them, the more they feel important, the more they feel like they're a part of your existence, the more they're going to be an advocate for you as opposed to being a hater on you.
If you, the stronger you are, that's just the power.
Just think about yourself, girlfriend. When people listen to your stories, how that make you feel?
Hey, Hillary, do you feel like do you feel good about this now?
Did we just ramble on?
Yeah, it was good insight. I liked it.
Well, oh God,
Hillary, I hope you learned something today. But this is what I really hope you learn: fuck them bitches. You got the husband.
There you go, Hillary. Fuck them bitches. You got the husband.
They want to be like you. Let them tell their stories, but you got them. You get to lay on that dick whenever you want to. They don't. Yes, you win, Hillary. When they talking that shit, like, oh yeah, y'all got the memories when he got on the slip and slide and fell on the sidewalk. But guess what? I got that memory of that dick.
Hillary.
Hillary, thank you.
Yeah, because I think
you
brought up a really, I think, an incredibly relatable problem.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely.
Will you please, like, let us know how everything goes? And
we got access to his soul. We don't have that access.
And, because I've definitely, I think all of us here have been a part of a relationships, like we've talked about, that, you know, felt like there were families working against us.
Almost every relationship I've been in, at first the family works against me, and then I just start listening to the family talk and smile at them and appreciate them. Like, oh, that's cool. Oh, really? That's what happened? Then they all be on my side, but then by the time they get all on my side, I'll be tired of the dude, and I'll be like, I'm out, bye. They be like, why you leave him? He love you. That motherfucker don't love me. He fucked the bitch on camera. That's why I shit in his shoes. That's a whole other story.
Oh, Hillary, there's a lot to take in, I know, and I need you to play this back a few times so you can absolutely, you know, grasp everything that Tiffany told you tonight. Thank you so much, and I hope
thank
we helped
you.
And thank you. Keep in touch with us.
And please do, because I really I've been in your shoes, not feeling very well liked with family.
But they don't have to like you. Why do you care if they like you or not? That's not the person you're laying next to every day.
Tiffany, I want everyone to
like me. I mean, I don't care. It's not so much that they like me. It's just like I go in and I like try and help with the dishes and like be part of the family. And then we sit at the table and I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
so.
But that's when you be like, that's when you ask questions and be like, so what, like, what was he wearing when he fell off the slide and busted his head? That's when you get them to get into detail.
I will certainly ask this.
But ask random questions that's like, when they tell stories, you know, you ask a question. That makes them feel like you care.
Hillary.
Just ask the questions.
That's a really good point. That's so true.
I have amazing
parents. And I don't know if I've been doing that enough. So that's definitely a great point.
Parents love to talk about their kids.
Wait. Sam, before we say goodbye to Hillary, I have one last point that I want to make to Hillary.
Okay.
That I maybe hope will make her feel better.
I hope her parents are Hillary Clinton.
Okay, so my parents, I have an older brother, and my parents are weirdly adoring to us. Like they like I don't know. No, they think that we're sort of like Mensa members, even though we're fucking idiots.
That's
like
how parents are supposed to be. Your parents are exactly the epitome of parents.
No, like, they're so wonderful.
I wish
it's
when
true.
I woke up, my mom was wearing all white with blonde hair and blue eyes.
No, it's true. They're,
and my
they're,
dad was missing his hairline.
They are incredible, but it has made it difficult for our partners. Mm. Like when my brother... you know, has had relationships, I've had relationships, it's made it difficult because my parents have so much love for us, and so then it just makes it difficult. It requires somebody.
Your parents feel like you deserve the best.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you came from them and they feel like they are the best. And so you deserve the best. So yeah. in a relationship with
so
you.
So in a relationship, it's hard because especially with
your parents
with
have
my brother,
high self-esteem.
Like he with my brother, you know, he's in these relationships. He's this brilliant professor of sociology and he's been a part of a few different relationships with these incredible women. And I think that they've been, Hillary, what you are saying speaks a lot to what my brother's previous relationships sometimes had complained about.
I
which
think you
was,
should introduce me to your brother. I'll fix that. We could be sisters. I like
Hillary,
the way your mom and
I'm
dad
so
look. I
sorry.
Feel like your brother might be fine.
The conversation's no longer about you. Guess what? Tiffany's gonna be my new sister.
That's gonna be awesome.
I feel like your brother might be fine as hell. I told mama and your daddy. I feel like they bump their uglies together. They make beautiful people. I feel like. And that's what these women need to feel like. Like, that's what their mom and dad want. They want to feel like what they created is held up to the Most High. And that's why they probably hold these women to a certain standard.
No, I think, so my parents, I feel like with my brother, they just wanted, everyone wants like this shining bright star. Mm-hmm. You know, like they have, you know, the child, whatever. And they, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but it's a little bit ingrained to try to find flaw in their child's partner.
Yeah, because they might not want that. They might see that that partner is not the one.
Yeah, but even if it is, they still sometimes want to find flaw.
Yeah, because that's human nature.
It sucks,
you better
though.
Have a flaw. If you are perfect humans, you're not a human.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you're perfect, you're not human.
Yeah.
You better have something wrong with you.
I don't.
Yes, you do. You farted in the makeup room.
I did, didn't I?
No, I don't know.
I did.
Hey, we all have imperfections, and we're supposed to. And it just.
But
yeah.
But Hillary, please know that even if we were of no use today. Please know that your problem
we
is
were
not
of use.
Uncommon.
We were of use.
And yeah, we were definitely were of use. And I do like Tiffany's advice about just asking questions about your fiance to your parents. You know, keep them engaged. Because once you're married, it might be a different deal completely. Then they may be acceptant once, you know, that piece of paper is signed. Who knows?
Yeah.
I have no idea. But he's sticking around for a while. So whether you like it or not, you're a part of it.
My ex-husband's mom calls me.
For sure.
Every week to this day,
yeah.
because I made her feel, when she was telling me stories about him, I made her feel important about those. So she told me about how he tried to burn her house. And I was like, girl, what did he do to your house? How did he do that? And then she told me about how he tried to cross the street in heavy traffic. I was like, ooh, did you think your baby wanted to kill himself? What happened? Why would he want to do that? Like, so I'm asking her all these questions. Now she wants to, because she calls me every week. We've been divorced for 3 years. This woman still calls me every week and be like, I wish she was my actual daughter. You know, yeah. And I talk to her and I don't really do much talking. She tells me something. I ask her questions and she talks for 15 minutes.
Oh, she misses you. Hillary, what do you say that you, Tiffany, and I all get married?
That sounds great.
I know we could do that now in California. We'll fly out there. We'll hang out.
It'll be great.
Oh, it's an easy breezy.
Well, we
life.
Definitely can do it in Nigeria, you guys, or in Ethiopia. Multiple.
Hillary, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks, guys. Let us know.
Great question. Great.
All right, Hillary, keep in touch.
I hope she does.
Good night.
That is, don't you think though that is such. That is such the.
It's tough. It's always tough. I mean, you and I have been through it. You know, yeah.
But wait, Tiffany, I have a couple questions for you before.
You better ask me now because this is before the best time to get before I'm intoxicated.
Okay, so. So you came over last minute a few nights ago.
Yes.
Okay. Can we talk about a little bit about the terminology that you were teaching me?
Wait. Before, because I was there as well.
Yeah.
Let's just back up a little bit.
Do you mind, Tiffany?
I do not mind. Let's talk about it.
Do you know what she's talking about, first of all? The
terminology? Have no idea.
Okay. Do you remember you were talking about the prison system?
Oh, yes. Hooping.
Hooping. Yes. And you were talking about all the inner workings.
Mike, do you know what hooping is?
And I just got off the phone, too. On my way here, I was talking to a dude in jail on the way here.
Okay, this is fascinating,
there are a few things.
I have another program where I call back, give back to our inmates. A lot of inmates in prison hit me up on Tango, and we talk, and they feel like it makes their whole day. They might be in jail for the next 20 years.
I don't even know what Tango is.
Tango is an app. Which is for like people that don't have FaceTime.
Someone right now?
We could tango anybody right now.
Are we going to tango someone in prison right now?
We can. My phone right now is on airplane mode, so I can't tango.
Do you have the Wi-Fi password?
No, I don't. Okay,
right. We don't have to tango anymore.
We don't have to do it right now. But you can tango somebody. There's an app where you can tango, and it's like FaceTime for people that don't have like iPhones or whatever. And also, you can play games with people that all over the world. You can talk to people anywhere in the world. So like guys in Italy hit me up in Greece because I had been there, and then so it pings that I'm in. Like I've been in this area.
Girls hit you up.
Girls hit me up too to ask me for advice about like, you know, hair and makeup and trying to be comedians and trying to be a performer. Like it's random stuff that comes through all the time. And but mostly guys in prison.
I do want to tell Tiffany and you, Sam, I don't know if you know, and Mike, that, you know, because my first movie was Scary Movie.
Yes.
So I got a lot of like nice for the, you know, I grew up north of Seattle, like the whitest of the whitest, like, you know, whatever, and got a lot of really nice sort of, you know, male feedback from you know, the Black community, including prison community, and which continued through Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, and 4. But I always felt like, man, I loved it, but I felt like I wasn't, part of the theme of this show, like, qualified enough. Like, I've been so separated from the idea of, like, that experience of, because I grew up in this, like, kind of, you know, blue collar north of Seattle, sort of, you know, mostly white neighborhood.
Where were you at, like, in Renton?
No, Edmonds.
Oh, called. Edmonton.
Edmonds,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
I worked for Alaska Airlines for a while. I know a little
bit. I know, I remember. But anyway, so I feel this like deep need to understand.
Okay.
And it sounds lame, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because you understand. I think you do understand.
Well, because we're all fucking people.
Yeah, we're all people. It doesn't matter what, like, walk of life you come from. If you see something you admire, you want to reach out to that and see if it reaches back.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what was happening. Like, you're getting these letters from, or, you know, comments or whatever from prison. That means that, you know, somebody sees you. You're provoking joy in their hearts. You're creating some kind of emotion, and they took the time out of their existence.
I know.
Because not like they got a lot of time to do anything else, but they reached out to you, and that right there is, you should feel honored.
Oh my God, I was.
And because then I was like, your tax dollars are kind of paying for this recognition.
Because I really did feel like I want to know the human experience. Right. You know, that's part of my curiosity of life. I want to know what it's all like. Anyway.
I don't. I want to know what some of it's like. Some of it I'm cool on. Some of it, somebody could just tell me. I don't need to experience it. Some of it.
You don't want to go potty in Bangladesh and rice field.
I'll take a shit in the hole. I'll shit in the rice field, but I don't want to have to do that for like 10 years. I'll do it for a day or two. Like, oh, okay, this is what it's like to shit in the rice field. Back to L.A. where I can take a dump on the toilet. Like, I don't know. Like, it's certain things I want to experience. Like, I'm going to Thailand in 2 weeks. Because I'm going to experience what it's like to be there. And I want to see what it's like to get a complete body physical for, you know, $1,200 as opposed to paying $20,000 to get blood work and all that done. I want to see what that feel like. And for a French doctor to give me a pap smear, I always wanted that. And so.
Oh, you want a French.
I want a French
therapy.
Doctor to be like, up into your legs.
Wait.
Farajaka.
Tiffany, let's tell our audience really briefly how hot it is to have a pap smear.
Well, first off, okay. It's nothing like when there's a fat bitch with a hairy chin.
You put your feet in some
that tells
stirrups.
You tells you to step into this room, and she says, take off everything from the waist down.
And you're
like, all right, you hairy chin fat bitch. And you take everything from the waist down off.
Don't you?
And they give you
a paper cloth to put
around your body.
Super sexy.
That you put your arms through. And sometimes they want to give you a breast exam. So they say, take your bra off too. And you're like, oh shit.
Amazing.
You want me to have my titties out in this paper? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. And then you put your feet in the stirrups.
Well, no, you don't put your feet in the stirrups yet. You wait 25 minutes to... 30.
You reach
you wait
like
for 25 to 45 minutes for the doctor to get in there because you have fucking Medi-Cal.
You read like
you're cold as shit. Your pussy dry because you're freezing to death. You got goosebumps everywhere. The room smells like Newports and sadness.
And isn't there like a family? Like,
I'm sorry, I've been to a lot of free clinics. Look,
I've been to some free clinics too.
Then a doctor comes in, you're like, who the fuck is this? He has the shakes. He obviously has Alzheimer's. Not, he doesn't even, he reads your name, he says it once, and then he doesn't know who you are. And then he says, scoot down a little more.
I'm going to get the light
in
there.
And they put that hot light on your coochie while it's
light.
Cold in the wind.
It's a hot light.
Now your coochie out. It's open. Yep. And then they get that duckbill platypus thing that's made out of metal. Sometimes you get lucky and it's plastic, so it's like room temperature. But when it's metal, damn, that's how you know you got an old school doctor. That's how you know they really finna check that pussy. And they pull out that duckbill platypus thing, they stick it inside your coochie.
How many sexual partners have you had?
And they crank it up. They say, yeah, they do ask you, are you sexually active? The way you cranking this pussy open, obviously. They don't even ask you before it happens. They crank your coochie open. As they cranking your coochie open, clank, 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 clank. By the sixth clank, your shit's like dilated by 6 centimeters. Obviously, I'm sexually active if you're able to open it up that much.
You know what's odd, though?
How many sexual partners you got? Enough to make me feel good.
Why?
By the way, your parents have heard everything.
They're laughing and shit.
They're literally 20 feet away.
But why does... Do men think that tampons feel good? Because they feel like nothing. But, and same thing with that weird speculum thing that widens your vagina. That actually doesn't...
It does not feel good
at all. It does not feel good.
It is uncomfortable, actually.
Yeah.
So, it's like getting big dick that you wasn't ready for.
So why?
And it's cold, so it ain't even warm. Big dick that you wasn't ready for, at least it's warm. At least it got a heartbeat. That's speculum. You ain't ready for that shit. Like, oh shit, it's so uncomfortable. Then you try to make small talk with the doctor. The doctor say something funny. You laugh. The shit shoot out. Hit him in the forehead. He tell you got strong pussy. You like, I know.
You've been told you have a... Strong?
Yeah, my doctor told me I had very strong walls.
What does that mean?
The thing shot out. He said something funny.
I've never been told that.
Oh, well, you ain't never shot on a motherfucker, man. You got a bust on these doctors. They put that shit in your pussy. You got to shoot it back at them. Hit them in the throat.
Listen, some people do it and don't learn. At least you learned. Imagine the people who never learn.
Hi, you reached Amanda cell phone. Leave a message.
At the tone.
Okay, you want to leave a message?
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, this is Anna Faris, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Regina Hall.
And you were so sweet to submit a question to our podcast. We tried calling you, and we would love, love, love to talk to you, and hopefully we can reach you at another time.
Yeah. Next time, Amanda.
My sweet, dear friend. What's Regina has lots and lots and lots of great advice to give.
Is it not Amanda?
And have terrible advice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Chrissy.
But wait, did I call the wrong number?
What? I thought it was Amanda.
It's 201.
Nine,
right?
It's that Amanda.
4-2. Oh my God. Help me.
That was amazing. I just dialed the wrong number, and a girl named Amanda, some random girl named Amanda, just got a message from Anna Faris and Regina Hall.
Wanting to give her advice.
And she wasn't seeking any.
No, absolutely not.
That's
she's
always
like,
the best advice.
She's like,
the kind
this is,
you
this
didn't
is amazing.
Ask for.
Wow. Wow. I apologize for that, but it makes for, you know what?
Sorry, Amanda.
She's going to play that message for all of her friends, and it's going to be great for her.
I think she's going to think it's a real message or someone playing a joke.
I think
she'll think it's real. She'll Google it and she'll know.
And your voice.
Your voice.
I think you're divorced. We have distinct voices, I'd say.
Regina, I got to tell you, no, you are like, you're A, our first guest, and B, no
Which
one will
the best
top
guest.
You.
I'm the best guest.
You are. What are we going to do for the rest of the time? Do you have any interest in volunteering yourself each week?
I'm going to be a volunteer.
Well, I tell you what, you
like
were
it.
Amazing.
Isn't it great?
Fun,
the atmosphere
right?
is fantastic, isn't
my
it?
My boyfriend's in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
I like
there
knowing
you go.
Where he
it's
is.
Kind of fun, though, right? I'm so glad.
I know.
Thank you so
All right, we're,
much.
We're going to try Chrissy
it is
again.
It's actually fun.
We're going to try Chrissy
oh,
one more
the
time.
The real Chrissy.
The real Chrissy, and let's see.
Where is 201?
That is Jersey.
New Jersey, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I'm pretty sure it's Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from New York, so I think it's.
I lived in New York for many years. I went to
you
Florida.
Went to NYU. Oh, that's
and I went to NYU
yeah,
grad
I,
school.
I looked you
Hello?
Up on Wikipedia. Hi.
Is this
Chrissy?
Yeah.
Hi, Chrissy. My name is Sim, and you are on Anna Faris is Unqualified, and I'm sitting here with Anna Faris and Regina Hall. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
I'm good.
So
you were so sweet to answer this late at night. Thank you
okay.
so much.
So Chrissy, so you've got something going on here, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what's
All
happening?
My life.
mm-hmm.
So I'm a 30-year-old grad student.
Mm.
So my life is kind of crazy anyway. But I've
what are you
never
studying?
Been a fan of relations.
Just curious. Mm-hmm. What are you studying in grad school? I'm just curious.
I'm doing a PhD in neuroscience.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I can tell you.
I know, right? It's really not as impressive as it sounds.
I read your little note, and I can't wait for you to talk about it because I know Regina and Anna have no idea what you're about to say, but this is a very interesting subject you're going to bring up.
Oh, okay. So I pretty much have never been a fan of relationships. I've been in a couple, like maybe two or three, and they've lasted the most was maybe 6 months, on and off for 6 months. And I think usually around 2 months, I'm really excited at first, but then about 2 months into it, I get really bored. And I absolutely hate dumping people. I've done it too many times. I'm a really bad breaker-upper, like the Seinfeld episode. I feel like that person. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have a lot of great friends. I have a dog. I feel like it takes away time from all of that in my life. And
Well, okay.
We all have a lot of thoughts here.
Are you unhappy with that and you want to change it and you want to be in a relationship?
I mean, I feel like I've always wanted it. I want to feel that, you know, that love and have the. I have a very idealized version of what it should be like. And I do, part of me really does want that, but part of me feels like I'll be okay.
Well, do you mind my asking what your idea of what it should be like is like?
That's a good question.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. I think I just want to feel a really good connection. I want to feel chemistry. I want to feel. For me, it's not so much about the details. It's more about having a really good connection with somebody. And
can I ask you a dumb question? Do you feel at times that you're much smarter than the guys that you date?
Not really. I don't feel like. Especially like talking to people, I don't really come across. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing it, but I don't feel like I'm not your typical scientist. You know, like
what sign are you?
I'm not like. I'm a Taurus.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm stubborn.
Yeah. Well, I can't, like, your honesty with this is incredible because I think we all feel versions of this, whether it's needing to be in a relationship because our parents feel like we should be, especially as women. For me, I have a 3-year-old, but it took me a long time to, I felt really guilty the first 2 years of my child's infancy because I didn't understand it. I hadn't really been around babies and I felt like, isn't this something I'm supposed to be pre-programmed with? So I really, really think it's brave and honorable that you talk about this because we've all been witness to so many unhappy relationships with people that mm-hmm. seem like they're in relationships because they feel the need to be.
You know, I'm single. Yeah. I've never been married. And I'm older than you. I have a dog. Mm-hmm. I actually have a really pretty content life. I don't want to say a lot of boyfriends. That sounded like trashy. But I've had long-term relationships. But I will say I haven't gotten married because I, too, cannot do it unless I have the connection. So I often wonder, is the connection a real thing? Because then I've seen people who have had the connection who've gotten married off that deep connection and then gotten divorced.
Hmm.
So I have to tell you, it's quite a mystery because you don't really know, right?
Sometimes you have that deep connection almost instantaneously,
yes.
And then all of a sudden, after a while, and you realize, I can't believe I felt that way for so long in the
yes.
beginning, and then all of a sudden it just kind of vanished. And where did that go?
Yeah. But I understand that you don't want to have a relationship or a marriage without the connection. I just don't know if what we mistake as connection and passion is what a long-term relationship really takes. So I don't know. I kind of think you almost have to be somewhat in some relationship, some kind, for you to realize what it is you really need. Sometimes relationships and the failure of relationships or the ending of relationships make you realize what you need, what's important. And you kind of have to have those experiences. And maybe you just can do that from dating.
So are you, she should go out a bunch more and just meet as many people as possible?
Well, I don't know if it's about rotations, but I definitely think it's about if you meet someone who you like, exploring it. But, you know, it sounds to me like you want to be with the one who's the one, and anything that's not the one
yeah.
is a bit of a waste of time for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want it to be remarkable, you know, and amazing, and I think I have high expectations.
Have you ever met? Okay, here's the thing: have you not necessarily a guy that you've dated, but have you ever met a man? Mm-hmm. Maybe he was taken. Maybe he is married, or just a friend, or someone that is remarkable in your opinion. Someone that you could see yourself with, but for whatever reason, circumstances, it just never worked out. Has mm-hmm. there ever been that man in your life? Have you ever come across that person?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think most of the guys I've dated, I haven't seen myself long term with, and I just end it because I don't see a long future with them. That's kind of how I am. Mm-hmm. I just kind of end it.
I think you're going to meet someone.
Do you think part of it also is a defense mechanism? Are you afraid of maybe getting hurt? I know that's a little personal.
I thought about that. It's possible. I've had some losses in my life, and I had some guy tell me, "Oh, do you think you're like afraid that if you, you know, have a deep connection with someone that you're going to lose them after like the loss you've gone through?" And I'm like, "Oh, I never thought of that. That could be part of it." I feel like it's very subconscious, though. You know, I'm not very aware of it.
I've just had a psychic moment, and you're going to meet someone, and you're going to fall head over heels. And I feel it. I feel it soon. I am a bit psychic. I do feel it happening.
I agree with Regina, but I do think this sort of is giving me a little bit of pause because maybe Regina doesn't put quite as much pressure on herself. We're in these professions, and as much as we wanted to sort of deny the idea that our jobs define us in any way, I'm in a profession where I am craving acceptance and wanting people to like me. And so I go out of my way to be I just need people to like me desperately. And I think it's sort of part of my job. And then sometimes eventually if I manage to win somebody over, I'm like, wait, why? Well, that person's kind of been a fucking asshole. Why did I try so hard with that? That sucks. I wonder if being in the world of sort of science and academia, there isn't, I mean, not that I, Lord knows I wouldn't wish craving acceptance from every single person on earth on anybody, but if the approach and how your profession defines interaction in a sense, and I really don't know, but I know for me it is like, please, please, please like me. But I do, my brother is a professor, I come from a family of professors. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of solitude in academia, and I wonder if maybe just more practice. Maybe we should take you roller skating.
Yeah,
Venice Beach.
Well, I definitely want to get out of academia.
Oh, really? It's not making you very happy?
Yeah. No, it's just, like you said, it is very, it's solid. It's a lot of solitude. It's a lot of constantly defending yourself. I do see what you're saying, because I do feel like I always have to put on, you know, a happy face, or I have to be like, yeah, things are great, even though I'm doing fine, I know I am, you still feel like failure some days, because things don't always go your way. But, yeah, I see that. I get a little, it's hard to yet kind of maintain this defensiveness that you're like, I'm doing something good. I'm not a complete failure.
Right.
But
I want you to come move in with me.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you.
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't?
She's a tyrant. But
no.
Don't fall
Regina,
for this story.
I am wonderful.
Listen, see?
I make your bed every night. I give you chocolate.
She's got a stick raised above my head right now. I'm just saying.
Okay, now you shouldn't have said that.
See?
But listen, will you please let us know how things are going? I got to tell you, I'm so honored and flattered that you asked a vulnerable question, and
someone's coming.
You sound like a really cool girl. You sound like you have a good head on your shoulders, and I personally believe that something great's going to happen to you soon.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, you guys just made my life.
Chrissy,
thank you so much. And will you please, I mean it, will you please, please touch base with us?
She'll hit you if you don't. You just should just do it, Chrissy.
It's true. I'm going to abuse Regina.
Yeah, she'll hit me if you
every
don't.
Day.
I would love that. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
You
Bye.
Too.
Oh. They're
I don't know if I did. I didn't.
No, that was great. That was great. She's happy. So she's really happy that she wanted. She. I think basically what she needed was. I think she just needed some confirmation and a little hope that. To know that she's not doing anything wrong.
Yes. And you know what was great? Having her realize, gosh, you know what? I am in a very academic world. And
right.
Academia is here. You know, it's very cerebral. It's not. And so it's all good.
Yeah.
You guys are all, you know what? This is like we're doing a nonprofit. She's a crawler.